Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Today, we begin 2 weeks of special segments with Max Lucado, and we've got a special guest in the studio. He is the founder of Promise Village. His name is Tim Coldiron. And also joining me, Milan Yurkovic, in your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. This is a great day for a new life.
I really appreciate your show. It's been a big blessing to me.
I have two teenage boys. Maybe for a couple weeks it'll be okay, and then all of a sudden we slip up again.
Whoa. Can you translate what all of a sudden means?
After I sobered up, I wasn't numb enough to drown out what was aggravating me with my mother.
Okay.
That's well put, by the way.
In my heart, I don't think that it's important enough to tell her.
Well, if it's not important enough to tell her, are you sure it was important enough to divorce?
You know, sometimes we only think there's two options.
Is that because you were clueless in that time?
You know, that is a very good possibility.
This is one of the prices of boundaries.
Hello, welcome to New Life Live. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm the president of New Life, and we're actually interrupting a recorded program that we did a few weeks ago. Steve is scheduled to be in Nashville. He's actually there now, and he's not feeling well. His voice is real raspy. He and I wanted to get on the line together and just thank you folks, our listening audience. Last week we made an appeal for support, and you guys came through. Over the weekend, we met our goal. With the mail and the online giving, we met our goal, and I want to thank you. It's a real praise. Matter of fact, I got an email from Steve, or a text, just a little while ago, and he said about doing this opening, he said, "You do it." I lost my voice praising God for the response. So thank you. We wanted you to know that we have an ongoing need. And as much as we want to thank you, and just we can't say that enough and to express our gratitude, in May this starts all over again, and if you guys can sustain the support that you have given us, if you could possibly join Club New Life and be a part of our monthly giving program, we will not have to come back on the air and make these appeals. We've heard just from a few people that say they're so tired of us asking for money. And our response is, well, we'll make our need known, and if the people respond, we'll stay on the air. And if they don't, we can't. And it's really that simple. I wanted to read a couple of things, people. I was in with the ladies opening the mail, and I wanted to just tell you what a few people were saying. One person wrote in, I'm a widow. I'm self-employed. Money is tight, but I'm going to send you $10 per month. Another lady wrote in, I was going to go buy a pair of shoes, but I can do that later. I'm limited with money, but God put on my heart to give to you, and she gave us $25. Another person said that I've listened to you through the years, and you've been an inspiration to me. You taught me new ways of dealing with life situations from a biblical perspective, and that's what we are about, this new way of thinking and a biblical perspective. That's just about our statement of faith right there, our mission statement. This lady wrote in, said, I listen every day. We live in a lost world. People need to hear the word of Jesus Christ. And we do that in a real practical way. This person says, I love you guys and gals. It is better to give than receive. I listen every day. And a widow's mite story, I want to contribute $5 monthly. I've been blessed by your radio program. Gal right here in L.A. says, I've been listening to your program for several years, and it's the first time that I've ever given. I love your program. So, ladies and gentlemen who are the listeners of New Life, thank you. Would you please consider sustaining the support that you've given to us the last few days? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can write us at P.O. Box 1018 in Laguna Beach, California. You can go online and give. But we need you to sustain this ministry. If you could join Club New Life, our monthly giving program, I think you'll be very grateful that you did. We'll send you a monthly CD that Steve produces. And we will send you some resources every other month if there's something you'd like. But thank you. Can't say thank you enough. We are so grateful for each and every one of you. Stay tuned for the rest of our program. We'll be back in just a moment here.
my clothes are falling off of me, people are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're going to go right to the phones, and then we'll talk more about Promise Village. Let's go to Ann from Allentown, Pennsylvania. She listens to WBYN. Hello there.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a huge fan of New Life. I've been to various events, going to the one in Washington in May.
Yay.
I support through prayer and financially. Can't say enough about New Life. Really love New Life. Thank you so much.
Well, Anne, you can say all you want, okay?
Well, I'm a very, I've got a big mouth, and I tell a lot, I really believe in your ministry.
Love that.
So I'm a big networker, so it's good I'm on your team.
Well, how could we help you today?
Well, I have a question. I have a couple friends that have very large families, like 8-plus, and can't really afford it, like one maybe going to lose the house, whatever, and they keep getting pregnant, and I don't want to be judgmental. I want to just love them where they're at. You know, some of the families we give money or clothing to and stuff like that. And one, I did get up enough nerve one time to ask, you know, why. And she's, you know, I was like, oh, you know, kind of in a nice way, you know, she keeps having kids. Let me see. I think she has 9. She's pregnant with 10 now.
Wow.
Husband's not a Christian. They're really poor. And plus he's just, I mean, there's not all the unbelievers who are really great people, but he's just got a lot of problems. And she just said to me, real casual, I don't think she was offended. She said, we don't use birth control. She says, I just figure God will give me as many as I can handle. And it's hard for me when they keep coming say they're pregnant. I don't want to judge them. So my question is, like, I'm curious why people do that. And then how can I just love them where they're at and not enable them? I mean, I'm certainly not the sole supporter of their family, but I want to encourage them and help them. But it's kind of hard, you know, when they say that. And
okay. Now, I want us to give you an answer to give to her.
Okay.
And then we can talk about whether or not you're judgmental and all of that. Okay. But just that answer of God will give me only as many as I can handle is pretty much just saying whatever goes, goes. I don't have any decision-making ability.
Do you know what that's a voice of?
The voice of?
A victim.
A victim, okay?
Whatever happens to me, happens to me. I have no voice to be able to resist, have a different opinion. I can only trust in the Lord, and that is victim-like thinking, if I've ever heard it. And as to why they do this, your first question, I have no idea.
Okay.
Unless you throw a victim in there, and let's say you throw a controlling husband who isn't forward-thinking and isn't trying to, you know, really think with a proactive type of a response. These kinds of things can take off, and that's why.
Yeah. I've heard of parents, too, with like a savior complex. I'm going to bring as many kids into the world as possible because I'm going to lead them to the Lord, disciple them, and they're going to be world and kingdom changers.
Right.
And so this is my job.
Right.
And there's a little bit maybe of a savior complex that might be on the other extreme of what you're talking about.
I was watching a program the other night, and the guy had 121 kids, several wives, but he had 121, that very thinking right there you're talking about, Tim. So what I would want you to be able to do is to say to her, hey, you know, I was thinking about that thing we were talking about your kids, and you said God will just give me whatever number of kids I need. And it's kind of a way of seeing your life as a victim, might be something to say. Or it kind of acts like it's a statement that says maybe you don't think you have control of your life. And could we talk about that?
Okay.
Because it's just a pretty radical statement about life, and it can apply to somebody that's single who says, well, if God wants me to get married, God will bring that person right along. A lot of people are single today because that's – or they're married to somebody they don't like at all because they thought God just brought them their way and they had to marry them. But as far as judgmentalism, I think one of the toughest words for us in our character building process is the word acceptance. Just accepting people where they are and trying to see why, or that maybe there is, like Mylon, he went right to that victim thing. So maybe she's got 9 kids because she's a victim. So you see her as more sick than bad would be. One way to not be so judgmental.
I don't see her bad. I mean, I feel sorry. And the other family, they have 7. He's pregnant with twins. I just was stunned. He told me the other night. And then he, you know, emailed scripture to everybody about, you know, the blessings of, you know, like in Psalm 127. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to write back and say, well, yeah, it says in the Old Testament, if your children are disobedient, you should kill them too. But, you know, that doesn't mean that we should do, you know. But I didn't know if it was my plate. I don't know. I just try to pray for them, and I just struggle with it. I mean, especially, I see these families fairly often, and they're stressed beyond belief. They've shared things with me, and I'm just like, I want to shake them and say, but then I feel like, oh, I'm judging them. I shouldn't say anything. Yeah.
Well, this second couple kind of goes to Tim's point, you know, of these blessings of the Lord and sort of that grandiosity, this spiritualized grandiosity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do you say to that, Tim?
Well, it's really, it comes down to responsibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, helping her to see, I'm sure she loves these kids incredibly.
Sure.
And helping them to see, and there's a scripture that says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart unto the Lord and not man. And there's only so much time, whether or not it's 4 kids, 8 kids, 20 kids, 100 and something kids, there is only so much time. And when it is divided among 8, 10, and, hopefully it can be a love connection that she can talk to them about that. Really, the responsibility is to look at how much time and investment you can make in each kid as you are with each kid that comes along.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. On the boundary thing, you know, Ann, I would suggest that because a person continues to make these choices doesn't mean you have to support them. I mean, you can have a limitation as to what you're able to do. And you need to decide what that is and not look at it as another child to help, but how am I going to help this family, and what is the amount I can do just myself this month,
right?
Period. And don't feel responsible for that 8th and 9th and 10th child. That's not your responsibility. But I do think
these poor kids, you should see these kids. I feel so, you know, just obviously, you know, raggedy and, you know, and then I think, I don't want to, like, why should they suffer because of their parents? But then I don't know how many people they're receiving from church, different things, and I sort of wonder if they have the mentality, oh, well, people from church are
just the whole point. If people continue to, you know, support that is a problem. And I think another thing is if you see abuse or misuse or neglect, maybe Child Protective Services needs to get involved, and that needs to be something you need to be
also keeping
in mind.
Also, maybe you can organize the kids being clothed and fed. I mean, maybe go the other way. Maybe you could be the person called to organize the church to do it in an organized manner.
Yeah, and the husband needs the Lord. I mean, if he doesn't know the Lord, he needs to know the Lord, and that there's a structure and an order to life and so on and so forth. So,
well, Ann, let me send you a book that maybe you can give to one of them, How We Love Our Kids. That would be a great book. It's Mylon Kay's brand new book. And I'm going to send to you The God of Second Chances and hope that you like that. By the way, if you're in the Indianapolis area on May the 8th, I'm going to be preaching at Heartland Church right there. Let's go back to the phones and let's talk with Mary. Mary's calling from Seattle, Washington. KGNW is the station. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
How are you?
I want to say thank you for your program. It's a great blessing. I've listened for many, many years.
Well, thank you, Mary. Appreciate that. How could we help you today?
Well, my husband and I are grandparents and 5 grandchildren. And 5 years ago, our daughter called us and said she had been being abused. She has 2 children at the time. Now she has 3. But as as parent, as grandparents, we're, it's hard to put in question exactly what we're asking, but how do we handle a situation where our daughter and our three grandchildren that we have always had relationships in the past has been taken, her husband has taken them into hiding from both sides of the family. And we have, you know, done everything we can to try to locate them, find them, and it was due to a situation where they felt like both sides of the family did not feel like, because of drugs and alcohol, they were fit at the time to have the children.
So you haven't talked to your daughter in 5 years?
5 years. We've not seen her in 5 years, and the grandkids, we've not seen them.
Yeah. It sounds like you're a little more focused on the grandkids than her. Is that right?
No, we're focused on her too, but it's been awful to have the grandkids taken away with grandparents not being able to find, you know, locate anything.
What's the question for us then?
The question for us is, for you is, as grandparents, how are we supposed to handle when we have done everything we can do to locate them, and emotionally, I mean, it comes up constantly, you know, what can we do to find them?
And you've tried private investigators and all that stuff?
Tried that.
Yeah. Well, then, if you've tried everything, it doesn't seem like there's anything else to do but to try to deal with the reality of not seeing the kids and the grandkids. And continue to pray that something will happen. Did your daughter and your husband have a tough relationship? I'm just wondering why she doesn't make a phone call at some point just to say to you guys, I'm okay.
That's the question we don't understand as parents is, why can she not go to a phone and call us and tell us, okay, at least I'm safe?
What was their relationship like, your husband?
He has a law degree. He's 15 years older. He's a controller. Mm. And he was in a DUI program, and, you know, she never said anything about abuse until 5 years ago. We brought her up to try to help her, and he came and took her away and went into hiding with him.
Wow, that's tough.
So that's basically the story.
Mylon, you have a thought?
Well, I think she was answering the question about what is the daughter's husband like, not what her own relationship with her dad was like.
What was your daughter's relationship with your husband?
Fine. Very good.
Okay.
Well, it is a concern, that your daughter would tolerate such abuse. Typically, people, speaking of victims, which is the previous caller, typically victims tend to tolerate the intolerable, and typically a more secure person wouldn't. They would push back, fight back. They would have more of a sense of personhood to be able to have that adult voice and resist and oppose when something's unreasonable. And the second thing is if she is fine and if she had that wherewithal, then you must consider the possibility that she's being held against her will and that she's being intimidated, or something terrible is happening if she's as fine as you say she is, that something's not happening very good. And that somehow I would not stop searching. I would continue to hire new private investigators. I would do anything I could to try and find these people, because I would assume, therefore, my daughter's in distress, and I'm going to want to save my daughter.
Yeah, have you filed a missing persons report?
We have done that. At one point, they found her, and she was surprised that there was a missing report on her. We tried again. The police will not help you anymore if they stay married. And when he came up and took her away, he told her something, probably that the kids were going to be put in foster care or something that scared her enough didn't want to lose her.
That's right. He scared her. He intimidated her, and she's being held.
And you have? Do you know whether or not the rights have been severed? With
the rights have been severed, right?
I mean, are they? I know they can be in foster care, but the rights not be severed with the kids. Do you know for sure?
We don't know, but we do know the only way we could find them now is if we go to social services again and have them go into the public schools, and then the kids would be taken away from them. And then that would, again, make them even more angry. So that's the only way we know to find them.
I know each state is different, but I think a key is social services, missing person, police, detectives. But grandparents have some rights nowadays, and especially if parents are bad news, they really look to. The system doesn't want to take care of kids forever. And if they can find a family member who is willing to, they would hopefully welcome you with open arms. So I would just keep trying with social services or Department of Human Services.
It's one of those calls where we don't feel like there's much we can help you with. It's such a legal, social services, child protective services issue. I just pray for those kids right now. I pray for your three grandkids. I pray for your daughter that somehow someone is going to come out of that situation and contact you and just let you know that things are okay or that things would change radically. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Tim Koldar. Tim is the founder of Promise Village. Now, at Promise Village, you've got kids 18 and below?
Yeah, our
What's
license is from 7 to 17.
7 to
Most
17.
Most of our kids are 10 to 14 or 15. But we will, the younger kids typically go into maybe foster care where parents are continuing to work to get counsel. It's mostly teenagers or pre-adolescents that are really having the struggles that require this level of intervention.
They learn to take care of horses and
it's when
sheep,
they come, oh, everything.
Cows.
I mean, when they come, it's a fully integrated program. So they get about 3 to 4 hours of individual therapy, group therapy about 3 or 4 hours a week, the milieu therapy, which is everything that goes on there at the home, the teachable moments. There's animal-assisted therapy and equine therapy, and then we have our Promises Stage System, which is our character-building program, helping to teach kids patience and respect and opportunity, kind of the acrostic of Promises. So it's an awesome place, and radical changes are going on daily there, and it's a blessing to be a part of it. And if there are any parents that are really struggling with their child, we welcome to talk to them and maybe be able to help them out.
All right. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, hey, tell me about that Promise Village place for kids. Troy from Sacramento listens on KFIA. Hello, Troy. How are you?
How are you?
Good. What's going on in your life today?
Well, I just have a lot of shame and guilt and stuff going on, kind of, you know? I mean, I guess a lot of confusion, a lot of shame and guilt.
Well, what happened? Tell us what's going on.
Well, I come from a very abusive relationship as a kid, man, you know, and so I knew fighting and everything, you know, and that's all I knew, really, and so all I got was negative attention at home, really.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 17, I accidentally killed my friend, and when he died, I died.
Wow. Well, how did he die?
He died with 357. It blew out his whole back, man.
Okay.
And, that was my friend for 10 years, you know, and... So anyways, as a young kid, man, I think that when my dad wouldn't give me no positive attention, you know, I let guys touch me and stuff because I learned that they would give me attention, you know, nice attention rather than mean attention. And so it carried on, you know, it carried on, carried on. And then after I killed my friend, it's like, man, people just used and abused me. I didn't really have any say-so. Then I end up in prison for 7 years. I get out in 2001. God hits me like the Apostle Paul in 2003.
And so you're a Christian.
Yeah.
And but you still feel...
I would have never thought God would have saved somebody like me, man. Mm-hmm. But he did, you know, and he's been changing my life. He's been ripping all these parts out of me and stuff, man. And I understand that. And he's making me more loving, you know, person to where I got to love these people and not punch them in their face like I normally would.
Yeah. Well, what's the question for us? How could we help you? I'm sorry for what you've been through and how it all got started.
I don't know. I mean, like counseling, like some in Sacramento, like there's not really nothing, you know. I mean, they have Celebrate Recovery, but it doesn't do much for somebody. Like, I mean, counseling, I don't have any money or nothing, you know, to go to counseling or to do anything, you know. I feel like maybe I need something like that, you know what I mean?
What about AA or Narcotics Anonymous or something like that that might be, you know, more down the line that you want?
Yeah.
Have you been to any of those meetings?
Huh?
Have you been to any of those meetings?
Yeah, I've been to Celebrate Recovery. I've been to AA. I've been to NA. I've been to all that stuff before. Man, I haven't in a long time. But I have Celebrate Recovery. I don't really go to AA and NA because I don't like the whining and all that
stuff. But, Troy, you said the biggest issue was your shame and your guilt and you're confused. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it kind of blows my mind that God would pick me, man. You know what I mean? I mean,
now I presume since you know how the Apostle Paul was converted, I assume you know his story prior to that he was a part of persecuting people to death,
right,
as a part of his persecution against the church in his attempt to be zealous. Now, he had a different reason for killing people. You know, yours was anger. And
it wasn't even
his
anger.
Was different.
I mean, I guess it kind of was. I mean,
I guess it kind of was, sure.
Yeah, right, you're right. Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. To take a person's life is to take a person's life. And how much are you finding yourself in a church where you have people to disciple you and to begin teaching and understanding far more about what God is doing? He delights to take people such as yourself and take you from this place of brokenness and put you into a place of containment where the church is safer. And where a lot of your energy could be constructively used to lead people to Christ. Who in that church is discipling you? Who in that church are you entrusting yourself to? What group of men, as Steve says, men become men in the presence of other men. What men are you a part of?
Nowhere. I'm not really a part of anything right now.
Okay, now Tim, you know in your program, these kids come from these chaotic backgrounds. They have to start hanging out.
Without a doubt. I mean, the support is critical that you reach out and get support. You might not be looking for support with men because you haven't worked through those issues of the abuse, in a sense, like sexual abuse that you went through in order to get acceptance.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am really proud of you,
Me
Troy.
Me too.
Because it's amazing what you've gone through. I really believe that God will not waste our pain. And he obviously has not. And for you to continue to be reaching out and seeking help after all the struggles that you've gone through, you are a testimony and can continue to be a testimony. So keep working at turning your pain into gain and scars into stars and becoming a victor instead of a victim. And God will use you in big, big ways in the days ahead. He really will.
Hey, Troy.
Okay. Yeah.
You know...
Don't give up.
Never give up,
Troy.
I'm really glad you called. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery mm-hmm. Bible. I hope you like it. I hope it'll be helpful to you. And like Mylon says, get with some men. Mm-hmm. You really need to connect.
Need some new dads.
That will build on that healing. We'll be back right after this.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Yeah, we are back. Steve Arterburn here, and I just want to take a minute to talk to those of you who've never given to the program. Could this be a great time for you to give? Maybe God's been leading you to take care of the financial part of your life, and maybe you feel like part of the stewardship of listening to us is giving. Please do. And some of you that have, well, maybe you've given regularly, this would be a great time to do it here in the spring. And I know God will bless you greatly. I know you'll still struggle, and I know you'll still have problems, and I don't think that a Cadillac's going to drive up into your front yard, but I do think you will be blessed when you give. And thank you in advance for doing that. You can find out how to give by going to newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Steve, before you take that, can I just say something as a board member? You know, I've been on the board for 4 or 5 years, and I just want to thank you and this ministry for the financial integrity and the work that you do. I'm sad to say that about a month or so ago, it was the first time I was able to actually come to a New Life weekend and to see the transformation. You say that word all the time, but the last morning to sit and hear the testimonies and see the transformation that happened in short measure, the
pretty cool
work that the Lord is doing. And I know these calls and callers. And while we were down there, I know we went into the call center and met the call center personnel. And I was just really moved by their dedication. People who love the Lord are passionate about helping the callers who call in. And it's more than a radio or television and flash and books. It really is. Your heart is all about making a difference in the lives of people. And I appreciate that and all the work.
Thanks for you helping us. But it is exciting to see people be headed one way and then going there. And, of course, Mylon and Kay and Dave and Jan and myself, we're going to be doing the marriage workshop in May 13th, 14th, 15th.
You know, if Troy were to go to an Every Man's Battle weekend, even if there could be somebody that could sponsor him.
Scholarship him in.
You know, what would happen is he'd have a bonding with a group of guys, and he'd have a group of guys that could carry with him, because that's part of the follow-up.
And usually in every group, there are several who were touched by men.
Absolutely.
And affected by that.
Yep. So that's another idea for Troy.
Yeah. Let's talk to Susan from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hi, Susan.
Well, hi there. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Sweet.
I want to let you know that we have been supporters of New Life Live Ministries for several years, have gone to your Weekend to Remember workshops, and
I believe
it's held our marriage together, and that's why I'm calling today.
Well, thanks. Okay, how could we help you?
Well, my husband and I have a challenge with communication, and I don't know where to go from this point forward. Just to give you a little background, as Christians, we've been married 35 years, and the first 30 years were very good raising our children, although sometimes my hubby would get angry over small things. And I wanted to keep the peace in the family, so I'd attempt to ask him, you know, could we address the anger, but that just got him more annoyed.
Yeah.
And then one day out of the blue, just before our 30th anniversary, we were walking, and he said, I have to tell you, I've been unfaithful to you early on in our marriage on a business trip, and I know it was wrong, but it was just a one-time thing, and I want to ask for your forgiveness.
Mm.
So that really surprised me, and it was so out of, matter-of-fact, and he didn't want to share anymore when I would ask questions, and I told him I totally forgave him, but I was never able to confront him further, and I'm wondering if I have worked through that and truly forgiven him.
I wonder if you have.
So I don't know how to go about that at this point. He has been to Celebrate Recovery for 3 years, and he's a lot of good progress.
For what? Why is he going to Celebrate Recovery?
Well, he's going because he realizes he has an anger problem, and you know that he had an affair, and he wants to address that.
Now, how many years ago was the affair?
35 years ago.
Yep, about 35 years ago.
All right, and so the communication problem here is going to be compounded by you wanting information about that and him not wanting to share it. I mean, there's a disconnection there.
And you ask if you've worked it through. Probably, since you've called today, you probably haven't. I wonder if you kind of shelved things and pushed things down for so many years for the sake of the kids. Now that the kids are gone, all of this stuff is surfacing and real issues are at hand, root cause issues. For him, when any time someone is getting mad over small things, anytime they're getting volatile, verbally aggressive, intense over little things, it's usually a really good indication that there is stuff brewing underneath that's more intense and root cause issues that no one has gotten to the root cause of. So he may still be having some guilt. You probably are continuing to ask questions, so he knows it's not resolved with you. And so I would assume, my feeling is that probably some marriage counseling, even at this point, you might think it's been so long. Have you been in marriage therapy or marriage counseling?
No, I've asked him if we could go together, but he said he wanted to just work from his end, and at some point maybe we could go together. So he hasn't really been open to that.
Okay. Manon, what are you thinking?
Well, see, you're talking about several things here with us, Susan. One, you said, you started off, we have a communication problem. Then you brought up an infidelity problem. Then you brought up forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Then you brought up anger. And really, we didn't bring up, and you haven't brought up, the fact that you have a codependency and you're a pleaser and you don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. And that's another contributing factor to why you have a communication problem, because you won't speak forthrightly or insist on what it is you want to have. Right?
Yep, that is so me.
Okay. And that is equally co-contributing. Your husband's anger and your withdrawal is contributing to the marital dynamic of the poor communication. And so you each play a part. So what I would do if I were you is I would go to some assertiveness groups. I would get in a small group, and I'd learn to speak more forthrightly. I'd learn to tolerate rejection. I would learn to work on all the things that really hold pleasers hostage from being all that God wants them to be. And that is your part that you need to work on. Okay, Susan? And maybe you guys, since you're in Philadelphia, you guys could get to that marriage weekend coming up.
Beg him to just do that one thing with you.
Yeah.
So you go do your stuff, but this one weekend could...
Oh, I have a better idea than beg him.
Okay.
Because that's what pleasers do.
Oh, that's right.
She should get mad and say, come.
We have to do this.
We have to do this. And be assertive.
Yeah. This is the one thing I want. I haven't been demanding, but I want this. You were unfaithful 35 years ago, and you kept that secret for 30 years. Okay? If you want to make restitution for that, come to this weekend with me. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
And it will be healing for both of you. Really will.
So if you walk up to us and say, hi, I'm Susan, the pleaser from Philadelphia, I'll remember who you are.
Yeah, we definitely will. All right, I'm glad you called.
That's a good question.
Let me send you Mylan's book, How We Love. It'll be a great preparation for going. And the book has the workbook right there included with it. I think you'll like it. Anybody else interested, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. By the way, Mylan will be speaking in Columbia. Boy, that's quite a flight down to Columbia.
Wrong Columbia.
Which Columbia is it? May 22nd.
Well, that's Columbia, Missouri. We're actually filming how... Yeah, Columbia, Missouri. We're filming How We Love Our Kids.
Great.
And a great church there, Woodcrest Chapel.
Okay. That's Columbia, Missouri.
Okay. No cartels there.
No cartels at all. All right. Let's talk with Aaron from Wichita, Kansas. Listening online.
Hi.
Hello, Aaron. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How could we help you?
Well, my question is, I'm hoping you can possibly just give me what your opinion of a diagnosis would be of kind of what sort of problem my father has, and then once we establish that, how to best deal with him.
Okay.
Growing up, I'm an adult now, so I live by myself, but growing up, my father was just, he's very verbally abusive person, somewhat physically abusive, and he would just, I mean, if I told you all the things he did, it would take quite a while, but I'm trying to just sort of summarize it. He would turn on people just at the drop of a hat. You could be in his graces one day, and the next day he would just slander you to someone else. Growing up, his mother, she was very mentally ill. No diagnosis on her, but she was just crazy. I mean, that's really all I can say about it. And my mom says that my father told her when he was 5 years old, he realized his mother was crazy. So kind of what consensus we've come to is emotionally, he sort of is stunted at 5 years old. He functions very much, everything's black or white. I'm a good boy, I'm a bad boy. If I follow the rules, everyone should love me. If I don't follow the rules, well, I just need to switch my behavior and everything should be okay. At this point, my mom is pretty much done with him. They're still married. They sleep in separate bedrooms. They don't talk. She is trying to get a job in a different city.
All right, hold on. You know, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll give you some help. You're listening to New Life Live. We'll be back.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylan Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. you will never be the same.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Aaron, whose father is experiencing all the different extremes of emotions, and one day it's good, and one day it's bad. He acts like a little bad boy, a little good boy. And what is the question for us, Aaron, about your extremely, sounds like emotionally stuck at 5 years old father?
Well, I guess I was just wondering if it sounds like he has borderline personality disorder or bipolar. I mean, we always just wondered what he would be diagnosed as. I guess that would just kind of help us know how to best
typically
navigate him.
Typically, Aaron, a diagnosis ought to come from a psychiatrist, a psychologist, especially psychiatrist, if possible. And a lot more questions need to be asked before definitive.
I mean, he would never, ever go to anything like that.
But he does have, Aaron, some borderline traits and characteristics. But his adulthood sounds just as chaotic as his childhood. So you could view him as a chaotically attached adult who is all over the map, very disorganized, and from day to day, all the rules change from day to day, and that's what we mean by chaotic or disorganized. There is no organizational structure to how he works and responds. And I think if you just simply settle with that and go, yep, you're onto something here, Aaron, you know, everybody's onto something. Now the question is, what do you want to know about that? What is it that would help you come up with?
Well, I guess maybe it would just make me feel better about, and my mom feel better. I mean, we're both kind of just done with him.
Well, I don't blame you for being done with him.
He's done so much damage.
I don't blame you. So give us a question.
Is it okay to be done with him?
Yes.
I mean, is it okay to just kind of, you know, if he needed help, I would help him. But it's like, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to see him.
Yes.
I wish him well. But
yes.
But I would always give him, maybe it's from you or your mother, but I would say, and if you ever decide to get some help, I'll be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we've said that before. And I mean, my mother kicked him out of the house at one point, and you know, he kind of cried and I'll change it.
And she let him back in.
That's what borderlines do. And
exactly.
You know, really what happens, whether or not he's a borderline or whatever his personality or what's going on.
He's highly reactive, right?
Without a doubt. And what happens is everyone around them is miserable. But them. And so if the stakes get high, like his wife is going to leave, you're going to separate, he might, whether or not it's cry or pull out the stops for a short amount of time. I do think you need to honor him. You are his daughter. He is your father. And that's biblical. But you do need to set limits on the relationship and how it's impacting you. And you have seen year after year how you probably have not been able to change him, and you can't and won't, and so it'll just continue to impact you. You can love him, pray for him, and I love what Mylon said, to set some limits and say, listen, you know, I would like to get him more involved in your life, but these things have to happen first. That's going to take some
strength. The problem, though, is he doesn't see that he's done anything wrong.
Yeah, right. Hey, Aaron.
He has no idea why people don't like him.
Aaron, let me tell you how you can honor him, okay?
Okay.
You can honor him by what you're doing, and that is to become something far beyond anything he could help you become.
Say that
again. You become the person of character. You become the consistent person. You have integrity.
Health.
You go far beyond anything that he could teach you because of his limitations, and now you're honoring your father. It doesn't mean you have to do what he tells you to do to honor him, be in his presence to honor him. But you honor him by being a person of honor. Get it?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
all right.
Hey, Aaron, I have one last question. How weak in this process is your mom? I mean, it feels like you're trying to pick up for your mom's weakness in some way.
She's much stronger than she used to be. When I was a child, she was just, oh, goodness. She was just a pleaser and codependent. She's much more assertive at this point. But she just doesn't want to cause problems with him. If I ever say, well, you should confront him about this or ask him about that, she just likes, not worth it.
Okay, so then you may not have your mom as a full ally, is kind of my point. You're going to have to decide what's Aaron going to do. And you have to decide this concept of leaving and cleaving. I will not stay so tied into this family system. And family systems have a gravitational field like a Death Star on Star Wars. It just pulls you in and sucks so hard. And Aaron's going to have to decide, I will be what Steve said. I will rise above this, and I will not get pulled back in, because your mom has already bought her ticket, okay? If she's been still involved at this level and she can't say no, then you're going to have to decide, what does Aaron do? And that's all you can do.
All right. I'm glad that you called. I'm going to send you How We Love, Mylon Kay's book. I think you'll really enjoy it. I'll send you two copies. Give one to your mom. Have her read it. I think it'll help you understand them much, much more. Now, we're going to Israel June the 6th. There's still time to sign up. I want to show you a clip of, it's me over near the shore on the Sea of Galilee, just taking a moment there to reflect on, what's across the sea. Listen to this. We're here at the Dead Sea, and all my life I've heard how dead it was, and I think I've heard every devotional possible on that Dead Sea and no water going out and coming in and all of that. I've also heard how fun that it is. Is it fun, Joe? Joe Franklin says it's fun. But what I never counted on, what I never thought, was how beautiful it is. This is one beautiful sea. I hope you'll come see it. June 2011. Come experience new life in the Holy Land. We really do know the difference between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, and they rolled the wrong one, but that was the Dead Sea, and it was absolutely beautiful. But come. Call us right now. Get the information. There may still be room. We'd love to have you there. Also, I want you to know we've got 900 counselors plus across this country. Mm-hmm. We want to help you. And maybe it's not that. Maybe it's one of our weekends. It's a New Life weekend on transformation. Or maybe it's the brand new one that we've created for later in the year with Sherry Denham. It's called Wives in the Battle, or Lose It for Life, or the Marriage Weekend in Washington, D.C. All of those are available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You just call us. We'll tell you about it, or we'll tell you about a counselor in your area. Well, Mylon, why don't you close us out today with some scripture from God's Word?
With each of these callers who came from these difficult homes, you know, like Troy and Anne here, or Aaron, excuse me, you know, the Bible says in Luke that the pupil cannot rise above his teacher, but when fully trained will be just like his teacher. And so a lot of kids don't have any better chance than the highest level their parents have gotten. That's right. Emotionally, yeah. Relationally, and spiritually. And so really as a church and as counselors, our job is to help that person who didn't get that great start perhaps and help them along. But I think people need to do good self-assessments and ask, how high have I elevated? And maybe, like you challenged Aaron, to go beyond your parents.
The main thing is to not have your parents as the standard, because they might be way down here and you get way here, but God's standard's up here. So make it God's standard. We do need your help, so much help. And if God is leading you, would you please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online at newlife.com and support this ministry. We are listener-supported. We love watching lives transform. That's what we're for. We're not here to help people feel better about themselves. We want them to feel worse, actually, so they'll get in the car and go face-to-face and get some help with somebody that can really help them. So call us if you want to be a part of that, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go online, newlife.com. Thank you, Mylon. And Tim Coldarn from the Promise Village, he's the founder. Thank you for being here. And anybody that's interested in your child or someone you know getting help from Promise Village, 1-800-NEW-LIFE will give you all the information. We'll connect you up with them. It's a wonderful place where kids get a second and a third and a fourth chance. See you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652.
Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.